This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Meta has signed an agreement to purchase electricity from the nuclear power plant in downstate Clinton, Illinois. The 20-year deal begins in 2027. It will support the AI ambitions of the owner of Facebook and Instagram. Michael Brown is executive director of the Ecology Action Center in downstate Normal and says the deal is not good for consumers who are already paying much higher prices for electricity.
We're looking at, further price increases and perhaps, shortages.
ComEd customers are experiencing a spike in their electric bills because of growing power demand, and that demand has been sparked by the growth of AI and large data centers. The federal court today has ordered the city of Chicago to install thousands of accessible pedestrian signals over the next decade. The nonprofit Disability Rights Advocates says the court order is a historic win that will help keep blind and low vision pedestrians safe. The order gives the city a decade to equip at least 71% of its signalized intersections with this technology. The city has another 5 years after that to add the tech to all its signalized intersections. The Chicago Bears are halfway through mandatory minicamp at Hallis Hall. This is the first for new head coach Ben Johnson. Veteran receiver DJ Moore says the intensity Johnson and his new staff brings is something the team needs.
You got to look at deep down in yourself and be like, did I really mess up? Did I execute the play at the highest level that I can? Was I slacking or was it perfect? So that's what he wants, perfection. But we know we all can't be perfect every play. So just being as close as we can.
Running back DeAndre Swift told reporters he wants to bounce back from a poor first season with the team. He played previously under Johnson when he was the offensive coordinator in Detroit. Bears minicamp runs through tomorrow. And the Chicago White Sox have their shine back after trouncing the Tigers last night 8-1 on the South Side, and it was the first time since 2023 the White Sox beat Detroit. White Sox rookie Shane Smith pitched into the sixth without giving up a run. He gave up three hits and two walks overall. Sox manager Will Venables says Smith has been a consistent force on the mound.
Real consistent. Obviously the performance has been great, but just how he goes about his business, working through traffic, bouncing back when things don't go his way. He's just been extremely consistent, and obviously the performance speaks for itself.
The series is now even. It resumes tonight. And we've got two notable deaths to talk about. First, influential Chicago media columnist Gary Deeb has died. He was 79 years old. In the 1970s and 80s, Deeb covered the media in Chicago for the Tribune and the Sun-Times. His work gave readers a glimpse behind the scenes at newspapers, radio, and network TV before the rise of cable TV and the internet. And Edmund White, who documented and imagined the gay revolution through journalism, essays, memoirs, and novels, has died. He was 85 years old. White moved to Chicago with his mother when he was just 7 years old. He was present at the Stonewall Raids of 1969, and for decades, he was a participant and observer through the tragedy of AIDS and the advance of gay rights and culture. You're listening to The Rundown. The White House has submitted a rescissions package to Congress asking the body to eliminate over $1 billion in funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That group funds NPR and PBS. Now, this follows an executive order last month where President Trump aimed to defund CPB, and so it's now facing lawsuits. Here to tell us more about what this means for WBEZ is Chicago Public Media CEO Melissa Bell.
Melissa, thanks for coming in.
It's always wonderful to be here.
Melissa, we talked recently after the president signed the executive order to defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Can you explain how this rescissions package is different from all that?
Sure. It's actually a much more troubling step forward. The Congress essentially has 45 working days to decide whether or not they're going to pass a rescission, which would mean that the funding is revoked for the following 2 years, 2026 and 2027. I want to be clear that it's already been approved in the budget, and this is essentially an attempt to claw back that money. And the executive order was more of what I'd consider a press release from the president saying that he had every intent to push against federal funding for public radio and public television. But now this could put it into law. And that's very troubling.
And what are you hearing about the possibility that this will actually go through?
You know, it's hard to say. I think that the fact that it's been brought forward is a troubling step that it could pass both the House and the Senate. There is hope, though, that there are folks that really understand the power and the impact and the need of a federally funded public broadcasting system. You know, for folks out there, obviously, we love it because it brings you the great shows from WBEZ and Chicago Public Media. But it's more than just a radio show. It is our national emergency system. When you hear, you know, in major moments of crisis, emergencies, the more recent impact that happened in the Blue Mountains around the hurricane, the people were being able to be reached because of the radio satellite system. This threatens that, really threatens that. It also threatens the ability for news programming across many areas in our country that could otherwise be news deserts that wouldn't have local news. So there's a real threat here. So there's a possibility that some in the Senate may not want to revoke this federal funding. There's a hope that those congresspeople may make the decision that this isn't something that they can take out of their budget because it will impact their populations in a very real way.
There's so many numbers that get thrown out. I think our listeners might be having a hard time keeping track. I know I am. But about 6% of the Chicago Public Media budget, or about $2 million, comes from CPB grants. If that money goes away, how will WBEZ be affected specifically?
Well, you know, we've known for a time, even I started here in September, and even prior to my joining the organization, I knew that there was a possibility that a second Trump administration was a real possibility. And we knew that one of the areas that he really wanted to push back against was public media. And so we've been planning for this for a long time. My hope is that while this will impact us in a big way, we currently at Chicago Public Media are working very hard to find other paths for revenue, particularly thanks to so much of the support of listeners out there, so that we can continue to remain independent even if we don't have federal funding. This is going to be hard for us. It definitely will be. It's $2 million is a big number. That doesn't include probably another $1 million in services that we get from the CPB, like better negotiated rates for music licenses and other sundry items. But we feel that we have a path forward at Chicago Public Media, whether we have the federal funding in place or not. It'll be hard, but we have a path. What I really worry about is the broader the landscape of the public radio stations and public television stations across the country that don't have just a 6% part of their budget. It's up to 60% in certain areas. And if the federal funding goes away, those stations will go out of existence. We're going to see a pretty significant extinction of quality local reporting across the country if we lose this federal funding.
To put numbers in perspective, when buyouts happened at Chicago Public Media earlier this year, about 35 employees took the buyout, saved the company about $4.2 million. So now if $2 million goes away, how much of reduction in staff would we need?
My hope is that we would not have to face any more reductions. That's not guaranteed. I've said this since I started here. We will never know what the external pressures are on our budget, but I'm really hoping that we can spend this year working very hard to push forward on our revenue initiatives to support us in a way where we don't have to see further reduction in staff. Again, you never know what happens and what may come. We might see a major recession hit. We might see other external factors impact our business. But I really do feel strongly that we have a plan in place for this year that can show true momentum at Chicago Public Media.
Much of the criticism behind some of the proposed cuts to public media and defunding public media is that public media is biased. How do you respond to that criticism?
I think there's two answers to that. The first answer is that I think that there has been a very sustained campaign in this country to suggest that independent journalism is biased. This has been going on since Fox News came up with the tagline "fair and balanced." suggesting that they were something other than independent, that the rest of independent journalism was doing something biased. I think that that's been exacerbated by the attacks from the president calling us fake news. And I think that that's really influenced this idea that there is bias in the news. I also do think that in the journalism industry, we need to take some responsibility to help people understand how we do our work, when we make mistakes, when we are potentially not checking our own personal biases. As reporters, you come to a story and you are going to bring with you the full experience of your life. And so we need to make sure that the reporting we do checks our own biases as we go through the story process. And I think we need to be much more upfront about that and how we work very hard to reduce the bias in our story selection, in our source selection. And the more we can help people understand what happens behind the scenes and the value that we bring to the work, I think we will be able to help people understand that what we try to do every day in the news business is to understand the truth as best as we can understand it in this moment. And we're going to constantly update you as we learn new information, new challenges, potentially new corrections to the story. And so I think that there's work that we have to do. The bigger problem, though, I think, is the propaganda campaign that has claimed this idea of fake news.
Melissa, thanks as always for answering our questions.
Thanks so much.
That's Chicago Public Media CEO Melissa Bell. Weather, rain continuing this afternoon and into the evening, getting to a high in the mid-60s and then a low in the mid-50s tonight, and then much more pleasant tomorrow. Sunny skies on Thursday, high in the mid-70s if you're in the suburbs, cooler near the lake. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thanks for listening.